Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in preparing for this sermon, the first thing I always do is I read through all these different readings. And I made it to this gospel reading, and I just thought, this is super uncomfortable. What is Jesus talking about? Right? We have a loving Savior, don't we? We have a Savior who cares for us, and yet he comes to tell us that he came to cast fire on the earth. And he wants it to be kindled already, because he has a baptism to be baptized with, and how great distress until it is accomplished. And then he brings all of this division, dividing families against themselves. And you have to wonder, why does Jesus want there to be division? Division is uncomfortable. It certainly is. But as we read through all these different readings, the one that really kind of stood out and really shed some light on this gospel text is the Old Testament reading. See, in Jeremiah's day, the prophets were told the people about the coming destruction of Jerusalem. That's uncomfortable. They announced that God's people needed to repent of their sin because God was going to send the Babylonians to conquer their entire nation. They warned in the text, "Behold the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest, it will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intent of his heart." That's uncomfortable. Wrath, division, casting fire upon the earth. What's the Lord doing today? Why might this destruction wrath be a reality? Why did they have to deal with this? God's people, right? The people who God had taken out of Egypt and led into the promised land, and now God has wrath for them. What is going on? The problem is that they forsook God. They had forsaken God's promises. They had forsaken God's covenant. They had forsaken God's word. They followed their hearts into idolatry and immorality. They worship how they wanted, when they wanted. They sought the comforts and pleasures of this world rather than faithfulness. Now, of course, when something bad happened, when the pains of life arrived, they knew exactly what to do. Well, we're supposed to call upon the name of the Lord. Our parents taught us that. We know how to do that, but only when it suited them. You see, their words may have been right at one time or another. Their prayer might have looked pious on the outside, but their hearts are so far from God. They're, as we say in today's world, they're going through the motions. So the prophets were sent to call them to repentance, sent to tell them of the coming destruction. However, while God's appointed prophets delivered this somber message of God's wrath, there were also false prophets in Jeremiah's day who did much the opposite. They told the people about a God who didn't have any wrath. Well, God's not wrathful. He's a God without punishment. He's a God without teeth. He's a God who has no condemnation, a God who will spare you from famine and sword and everything else. Don't worry, it'll be fine. You can do whatever you want, and God won't punish you. Nothing bad will ever happen to you. And then we think, well, which message is more pleasant? Which message would we rather hear? Would we rather have a soft and fuzzy God who appeals more, or would we rather have this God of wrath? Would we rather have a God who doesn't care about our sin, a God who will let us live however we want without any repercussions, or a God who is going to rain down fire on the earth? In Jeremiah's day, the soft and fuzzy God was far more appealing. The false prophets reigned free. What happened to Jeremiah? The one who actually had God's word and preached it faithfully, he was put in stocks and he was beaten. That's uncomfortable. The only problem is that the false prophets proclaimed a God who didn't exist. The false prophets proclaimed a word that wasn't true. And as you may have guessed, In many ways, Jeremiah's day is no different than our own. There are people in this world who will tell you, this is what God says. In fact, that's Satan's trick, right? The only trick that he has, way back in the garden, when he looks at Adam and Eve, and he goes, did God really say? And he's still using the same trick now. He appoints these false prophets who come to us, and they bring all of this doubt onto God's word, and it always comes back, did God really say? Because in this world that is filled with a plethora of different religions, and even in Christianity that has a plethora of different denominations, we have to ask ourselves, what did God really say? Which one is the false religion and which one is the true religion? How do we discern truth from lies, God's word from man's word? This is hard to do. What is false and what is true? I mean, both sides are going to sound religious. No one's going to come out and tell you, hey, I want to tell you a bunch of lies and I want you to believe them. It just doesn't work that way. But there have been countless times that someone has told me they believe in God. And we can say, great, you believe in God. I believe in God too. Except what do you mean by God? Is it a higher power? Is it Allah? Is it the Jewish God? Is it maybe Zeus? People call him God too. Or is it the Christian God? Is it Father, Son, Holy Spirit? The word God might be right. But what is behind that word? What is that belief actually trying to proclaim? When discerning false from true, we can't assume that everyone believes in the same God. Someone might even say they believe in Jesus. And I'm like, great, you believe in I believe in Jesus too. But just like those in Jeremiah's day, what do they believe about Jesus? Do they believe Jesus is a nice guy? He's a friend? He's someone important? He's someone who will be there for me if I'm going through a hard time in life? And I can leave him behind if I don't need him. Or do they believe in a Jesus that we confess in the creed? A Jesus who does everything for his people. A God who wasn't content to stay in heaven, but came down to earth and was born of a virgin, who set aside all of his divine power to be a baby. Do they believe in a Jesus who performed all of these miracles to show God's compassion to the world? Do they believe in a Jesus who actually taught about bringing fire on the earth and causing divisions amongst family? Do they believe in a Jesus revealed in the scripture? Or a Jesus that they've invented in their own mind? When discerning false from true, we're both going to use the name Jesus. But what's behind the name? What do we actually believe about him? Many will say, well, I'm a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? I'm a Christian too. Plenty of people will tell you they're Christians. Does that mean you go to church on Christmas and Easter? Does it mean your parents took you when you were a kid and that was good enough for you? I mean, you can tell people that Jesus is your Savior. Savior from what? From sin? From the boogeyman? Words mean things. And God is very serious about his word. And so just as in Jeremiah's time, what we do is we like to gravitate towards these things that sound nice, but they might be so contradictory towards Scripture. We gravitate towards things that are comfortable and appealing. The rainbow, marshmallow, fluffy bunny God. But God's word causes division. God's word is about believing rightly. And it's hard. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. My friends, it is so important for us to discern the Word of God, to understand what is true and what is false. And God has even given us the way in which to do that. He wants you to be invested in what His Word says. He wants you to gladly hear and read and learn what is in the Scriptures, because this is where God speaks. He doesn't speak in our hearts. He doesn't speak in our minds. He speaks through the Word. To hear that God doesn't like false belief makes us uncomfortable. Because the truth is, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian your entire life. It doesn't matter if this is the first day you ever came to faith. We gravitate toward what is comfortable. It means we gravitate towards false belief. And so today the Lord calls you to faithfulness. He calls you to a word that is like fire, a word that will burn away all of your sin, a word that will reveal what is true. And it's good, because this is why God sends His word to you. It's why He sent it to Israel through Jeremiah. He wants you to understand your sin. He wants you to understand the truth, and He wants you to believe it. He wants you to confess it. And in a way, He really does want you to be comfortable, but not in your own mind. He wants you to be comfortable in the truth. The word that Jesus Himself loves you. That God Himself is a God who is not afar off, but a God who comes near. Who comes near as His word is preached into your ears, as you read it with your eyes. A God who is more than happy to dwell with you every day of your life through the pages of Scripture. And that word will tell you about a God who is gracious and merciful to His people who repent. A God who is gracious and merciful to a people who want to leave their sins and their false beliefs behind. A God who is so gracious and merciful that He would even send His own Son into death for you. That way you might know how much He cares. Jesus Himself is no stranger. He's born into a world that He knows is filled with false belief. But He comes willingly, that way He might teach you the truth, that way He might have you as His own possession. That's what His suffering's about. That's what His shed blood is about. That's what His crucifixion is about. It's about how much God wants you. God's word contained in the Bible is true, my friends. Everything else is false. Anything contrary to Scripture is a false word. And so today, my encouragement for you is to hear, to read, to mark, to inwardly digest the Scriptures. Listen to the word of the Lord and believe it. Because in the pages of God's book, you will find that you have a Savior who is not far off. But a Savior who will grant you forgiveness and life and salvation and every good thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your belief in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.